You might want to turn in your Bibles to the book of Psalm, chapter 51. Psalm 51. Psalm 51 has always been one of my favorites. It's probably known best for the first five verses or so, in which so many people in the religious world have tried desperately. I'm trying desperately to get that thing to hook on something. I'm failing miserably, so I'm going to put it in my pocket. People have tried desperately to make the first five verses say that man's sins are transferred. They're from generation to generation. They're passed down. Somehow making David's sin because of his mother and so on and so forth. And yet it teaches just the opposite. And we'll talk about that just a little bit. But in reality, when you look at the entirety of the psalm, it's a psalm of David, a psalm probably written by David at a time after Nathan the prophet had convicted David of the sin of committing adultery with Bathsheba, a time after David had caused Uriah the Hittite to be put to death. In essence, having Uriah the Hittite murdered. Great, great sin on the part of David. And in reality, notice how the psalm even opens up. It have mercy upon me, O God. David's not asking for mercy to be granted upon somebody who passed sin down to him. He says, have mercy upon me, O God. According to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies. Now listen to this, blot out my transgressions. Does that sound like he's asking for the transgressions of his mother to be blotted out? Well, of course not. Why? Because he knew good and well that his sins were not his mother's sins, and sins were not passed down from generation to generation like a genetic thing, like blue eyes or brown eyes or blonde hair or black hair or brown hair or whatever the case may be. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, he says in verse 2, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight, that you may be found just when you speak and blameless when you judge. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. Now, let's go on and notice what I've often referred to Psalm 51 as the Psalm of David's contrite heart or contrition. That word contrite is a powerful word. And the reason I've picked that tonight is because we need to have that same attitude of contrition, that same contrite heart. That heart that says, I have deep remorse and I have deep sorrow when I sin against God, when I transgress God's law, when I've gone against what I know that God has told me not to do. And certainly it is the case that we can sometimes sin, and we sin unknowingly, unwillingly, because maybe we haven't versed ourselves well enough in God's Word to realize what we've done. Well, stop and think about it. If we're not well versed in God's Word, that's a transgression as well, because we're supposed to know God's Word. But what David did, David knew was wrong. David was not illiterate. David was not unknowing of God's will for him. So when he did not go out to battle as the king of God's people, but rather stayed back in the palace and saw Bathsheba, committed adultery, took her unlawfully, he knew what he was doing wrong. When she conceived, and then he tried to hide it by having Uriah come back And then sending him off to war. And having the troops withdraw and leaving him at the forefront of the battle and having him killed. He knew he was wrong. Then when Nathan confronted him and presented this parable to David, and David became angry about it. And remember what Nathan said? Because remember, David was ready to have that person killed. That man deserves death. Remember what Nathan said? David, thou art the man. You're the man I'm talking about, David. Oh, David had a contrite heart. David knew what he had done wrong. And let's go in and look at the rest real quickly of this particular chapter of Psalm 51. And it gives you, a marvelous picture, if you will, a beautiful picture of David. And maybe why we can read in passages like Acts chapter 13, I believe verse 22, where it says that David was a man after God's own heart. Why it could say that about David? Was David flawless? Was David perfect? No, he wasn't. But he was a man after God's own heart, because when David saw that he was wrong, he made things right. He corrected himself. Notice some of the things that David writes about here. Behold, you desire truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part you will make me to know wisdom. You see, David had that inward part that desired the truth of God. Verses 7, 8, and 9, he said, purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Hyssop was an herb of a mint family that was often used ceremonially to cleanse. So that's what he was meant. What he meant by that, purge me or cleanse me and I will be clean. Wash me and I'll be whiter than snow. A typical term that we find in the Bible. Whiter than snow. Can you think of anything more brilliant? I mean, so you don't take much to go back in our own recent time frame here, back in January and in February, when we had those big snows out here and in all parts of the state of Texas, and how vibrant and how white that snow is. That's how clean David wanted to be. And David knew that God could cleanse him with that contrite heart that he had. Make me hear joy and gladness, that the bones you have broken may rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all of my iniquities. Oh, David wanted to have that heart that said, just close your eyes to my sins, God. Please close your eyes to my sins. That's the kind of heart that we need to have. When we transgress God's laws, we need to have that contrite heart that says, God, I know I've transgressed. I know I've sinned. Please forgive me. Close your eyes to that. And we have the beauty of a thing called a whiteboard now. It works so well. You take all that up there, and there's nothing wrong with what's up there, but when you erase that, it's just white again. And that's what David was asking for. Everything gone. Any transgression gone. Now listen carefully to verses 10 and 11. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence. Does that remind you of something that Jesus said as he hung on the cross? Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. That is to say, my God, why have you forsaken me? We shouldn't misconstrue that, but at the same time, think about what Jesus was saying. Do not take away your Holy Spirit from me, David would say. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. Where is our salvation? To the child of God, there is one place that salvation can possibly rest. You know where that is. In Christ Jesus. Be obedient to the gospel call. Then I will teach transgression. Oh, I'm sorry. I left something out. Beautiful part here. And uphold me by your generous spirit. Boy, the generosity of God. God doesn't want anybody to perish, but to all to come to repentance, Peter would write. God wants all men everywhere to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth, Paul would write to Timothy. Then I will teach transgressors your way, and sinners shall be converted to you. That's a job of Christians today, to get that gospel message out, to teach people, so that they have the hope of eternal life. Deliver me from the guilt of bloodshed, O God. Boy, do you think David was thinking about Uriah when he penned these words? My guess is he was. And again, notice what he says, the God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of your righteousness. We ought to be shouting to the world. We ought to be telling the world today about the righteousness of our God, the salvation that can be had in Him. Well, my time is about up too, so I'm not going to try to get to the very end of this. But notice verses 15 and 16, and we'll at least get to verse 17. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth shall show forth your praise. We'll be praising God every single day. Don't forget to do that. If nothing else in your prayers, give God the glory, the honor, and praise that He rightly deserves. For you do not desire sacrifice, or else I would give it. You do not delight in burnt offering. Sounds like 1 Samuel 15 to me. The sacrifice of God are broken spirit and a broken and contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise. God doesn't despise the contrite heart. He appreciates that and He loves that. Let's all go through the rest of this week with that heart and that mind that says, when I violate God's law, when I haven't been exactly what God wants me to be, when I haven't done the things that God said I ought to do, think the way God said I ought to think, be what God wants me to be, that I'll have that heart of contrition like David, and ask to be purged of my sin. Ask God to make me and my heart white as snow again. Let's have that heart of David. And truly, truly, be that person that God sought after, like David was, a man after His own heart. If there's anyone here this evening who is not a Christian, who's never been obedient to the gospel call, and if you don't know what that means, let me summarize it very quickly. And if you need somebody to study with, we stand ready to do that. Just come forward and we'll talk to you about it. We're here to help you understand the Bible. Somebody had to teach us. Somebody had to start with us. And we stand ready to assist you as well. I see a lot of visitors here tonight. Glad that you've come our way. We love you to death. We appreciate you being here. If you're locally, don't make this your last visit with us. If you're coming from out of town, then next time you're in town at a time that we're meeting, we'd love to have you back. But let me give you just a capsule of what it means to obey the gospel. We're told that we must hear the word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We're told that we must have faith. That means believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. We're told that we have to repent of our sins. That means that we turn away from sin and turn our life toward God. We're told that we have to have that mindset that we're ready to confess the name of Christ. That we must have a mindset that I'm ready to confess the very name of Christ, that He is the very Son of God before men. And then I'm willing to go up in that baptistry or any water deep enough to be baptized in and be immersed. That's what baptism means. Baptizo means to be immersed, to rise up and walk in newness of life. Have those sins washed away, Acts 22 and verse 16, to become a child of God. And then to live a life that God would have you to live. That's what it means to obey the gospel. Now, there's a lot that we can talk about. If you want more, would like to talk more about it, we're here to do that with you because we care about you and we love you. Maybe it is the case that you're a child of God and you strayed away a little bit. So easy to do in this world today. So many things to pull us away from God. I don't know if it's going to get any worse than it is now, but it's bad enough now. All the things that pull you away from God. Too many things out there. But if something has pulled you away, and you need to come back to God and come back on His terms, because that's the only way we can do it, then we stand ready to be with you, to help you, to pray with you, whatever is necessary to help you to come back to God. Whatever you need, if we can help out, won't you come right now as we stand and sing this song?